Castle Rock Radio, the future of radio.
Welcome to Food Integrity Now. I'm Carol Gravey. I'm here with my two co-hosts, Matt Spaeth and Susan Wright. Welcome.
Thank you.
Hello, Carol.
On our show today, we're going to be talking about chemtrails. What are they and how do they differ from contrails? We have two experts in this area with us today, and I'm going to be introducing both of them. They are the co-producers of a terrific movie called What in the World Are They Spraying? We have on the show today G. Edward Griffin. Mr. Griffin is an American film producer. He's an author of several books on some very interesting topics on the Federal Reserve and other topics that are similar to that. We also have Michael Murphy, who is a journalist and a filmmaker and a political activist and also the co-producer of What in the World Are They Spraying? Welcome, gentlemen.
Well, thank you. Glad to be on board.
Michael, are you there?
Thank you. I am, and I'm glad to be on board as well.
Great, great. Well, we're excited to have you on today. I've watched the movie, and it's terrific. And I've not only watched the movie, I've been watching the chemtrails above my house in Divide, Colorado, almost on a daily basis. So let's start out. Why don't you start telling us what in the world are chemtrails?
Well, Michael, why don't you start on that one?
Okay, well, essentially what chemtrails are aerosol spraying programs that have been occurring for about the past 12 to 15 years. And essentially what geoengineers are planning on doing and stating they urgently want to do is spray 10 to 20 million tons of toxic aluminum into our sky for the stated goal of what they say is cooling the planet. Geoengineers have been proposing these models, traveling around the world and selling these programs. They blatantly deny that they are going on. However, what we uncovered and many other people have uncovered in their investigation is that these programs have been ongoing. They're very toxic, not only to the environment, but also to human health. So typically what people notice in how I became awakened to this, a contrail and a chemtrail are very different. A contrail is simply ice crystals that form behind an airplane when it flies at a certain elevation, usually over 30,000 feet. And that contrail usually dissipates in a few seconds. There is an exception. There's a thing called a persistent contrail, which will persist a little bit longer. It requires very cold air and very humid air. Those are very rare, however, it does occur. What we see typically around the world now, about 4 to 5 days a week, is a line that is emitted behind an airplane, and it extends from horizon to horizon, and it spreads out. And what can be seen, like here in L.A., for instance, today, they began spraying in the morning, and by mid-afternoon, the sky becomes completely covered. The sun is blocked. People typically have burning eyes, nausea, and really feel some effects from this. So these are much different than what we had 15, 20 years ago on a regular basis, and that was just your normal, natural contrail.
Yeah, and I've noticed, too, I don't typically get headaches, and for the last several months, I've been getting headaches pretty much on a regular basis, and I'm convinced it's from the chemicals that they're spraying. It seems to be that Colorado Springs and the Divide area, I don't have much to compare it with, but when I talk to other people around Denver and areas around the area, it seems like we get a lot in Divide in Colorado Springs, and there's a lot of military bases in Colorado Springs. So you think there might be a connection there?
Well, I might jump in on that. I know that the military has to be involved, but I don't see this as being conducted by the military necessarily, because first of all, we know it's going on in many countries.
Right.
This phenomenon is not just in the United States, and I personally have witnessed the same thing in Canada and in England and in Scotland, and you know, places like that when I happen to travel, and it's the same all over. We get reports from many countries, most of them in the NATO bloc countries. So, if, you know, that would have to involve a multinational cooperation of some kind. And it looks to us like, although the military probably is involved at some level, it looks to us like they've contracted it out to some kind of a secret agency that, you know, you're not supposed to know anything about. So, but we don't know for sure. We're still, we're waiting for that whistleblower to show up. And I know they will, probably many of them. Our little film has made the rounds, and it has it's really shaken the trees, and
yes.
A lot of things are falling out, and we get letters all over from all over the world, and people who are coming on board now and saying, you know, I'm so glad to hear that you're saying this, because we've seen it, but we're afraid to speak up because everybody thinks we're crazy, you know?
Yeah.
So that's the kind of thing that's happening now.
When did most people start noticing? When did this start? When did they start spraying chemtrails? How many years has it been that they've been doing this?
Well, we don't know exactly the same date, but it looks like it was about the mid-1990s for sure. But there are some evidence and some photographs we've seen that looks like they were doing it sporadically even, you know, before that, maybe 4 or 5 years before that. It didn't just start all at once. It had to ramp up, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, but we think it was going full bore about the mid-1990s.
It definitely is a taboo topic to talk about right now. You mentioned chemtrails, and people do kind of look at you kind of funny, like you got a few screws loose. And
yeah,
we had a chemtrail demonstration.
About to change. I think that's about to change right now. We see it changing right as we speak.
Carol and Susan they took part in the World Anti-Chemtrail Day. They did a demonstration down in Colorado Springs, and Carol made it on the news. How was that, Carol?
It was, well, they kind of made me look like an idiot, but that's okay. They said that something to the effect that I couldn't offer them any evidence that they were spraying, and I had tons of written evidence in my hand as they were filming me. And then they went back to their station, and they presented the little clip, and they had their meteorologist come on, and she basically said, "It's real simple. A contrail is blah, blah, blah." She never addressed chemtrails. But here's what's kind of interesting, because they've been spraying so heavily in this area. But for 1 week after that news clip, which played about 6 or 7 times on, you know, for a couple of days on their news, there was no spraying.
And that's kind of hard to explain, isn't it?
Yes.
If these people say that these are regular trails behind jet aircraft, does that mean that if there are no trails on a particular day or a week, that has to mean, if their theory is correct, that they stopped flying on those days?
Right.
Or that the temperature warmed up at that 36,000 feet or 42,000 feet. The temperature suddenly got below freezing, or rather above freezing. And both of those, we know, are impossible. So right there is evidence. Powerful evidence that these are not regular contrails.
Yeah, and I thought that was pretty incredible, because it was just, there were maybe 20 of us demonstrating, and we were just handing out information, and to make it to the television station, even though they had a guy on there from Boyd Engineering in Evergreen. And the comment they got from him was, "Anybody who thinks they're doing something like this needs a sanity check."
Go ahead, Michael. What were you going to say?
Yeah, well, I'd like to address your issue. This used to be a taboo topic, and people that have been in the movement for about 10 to 12 years say that things are definitely changing. And for the first time, we put together a documentary which is not based on conspiracy theory. It's based on conspiracy fact. And we actually include this new science, which is geoengineering, and we include geoengineers actually talking about their models of spraying this toxic substance in the sky. There are patents that match the substances that they have proposed, actually patents of devices for spraying devices to be put on airplanes and spray specifically aluminum oxide, and there is fallout, toxic fallout everywhere where the spraying is reported. So geoengineers' plans match the patents exactly, and it matches the fallout exactly. So it's been a very powerful documentary, and the feedback that we have been getting is the tide is totally changing. It's not taboo anymore. People that do see our film, I get emails every day that people, you know, even from people that had actually doubted that this is going on, and it's pretty difficult to accept that there might be people spraying toxic chemicals into the sky. However, after viewing our film, many people have said, you know, it's completely changed my mind. Now I want to get active. So I have really not been demonized, and I know that Mr. Griffin has not, and I think it's in the way that it's being presented now. We have these geoengineers that are actually selling these programs to the public, but there's just a mountain of evidence that proves that they have been doing it.
Great.
So we've seen a tremendous success.
Well, when we're going to take this break, and when we come back, we want to get into some of that mountain of evidence and the Mount Shasta study that you reference in the movie. You're listening to Food Integrity Now. We'll be right back. We're talking with G. Edward Griffin and Michael Murphy on What in the World Are They Spraying?
I'm Carol Gervais, and I'm a certified life coach and one of the hosts of the Food Integrity Now show right here on Castle Rock Radio. Have you ever dreamed of swimming with the wild and free dolphins? I'm not talking about the ones in captivity like the ones at Dolphin Quest. I'm talking about swimming with them in the wild. If this is something you've only dreamt about doing, I invite you to mark this off your bucket list now and join me for an all-inclusive trip to swim with the wild dolphins. Your trip to paradise will include organic gourmet meals, ocean waterfront accommodations, Lomi Lomi massage, and much more. What are you waiting for? Now is the time to make your dream a reality. For more information, go to wilddolphinswimadventures.com or contact me at carol@coachwithcarol.com or 719-687-7447. Once again, that's 719-687-7447. Mahalo.
You are looking for some flavorful, healthy, fresh food. Come out to Maximilian's Cafe in Woodland Park, Colorado, focusing on local, fresh ingredients with a changing seasonal menu. Located at 209 East Midland Avenue, Woodland Park, Colorado, right off Highway 24 in downtown. Our walls are full of local artist artwork, and on Friday and Saturday nights, we feature local singers, songwriters, and performers to entertain you while you relax and enjoy a fun environment, a glass of wine, and fantastic food. Open 7 days a week from 11 to 9 p.m., 11 to 8 p.m. on Sunday and Monday.
Are you seeking understanding and assistance in healing your depression and anger or lack of passion? Hi, my name is Tammy Urbanik at Empowerment Through Healing, and I'm a medium clairvoyant who can work with your spirit guides to assist you. Your spirit guides can offer solutions and understanding at current life issues that you're facing. Visit www.empowermentthroughhealing.com for more information, and you can call me at 719-641-2017.
Welcome back to Food Integrity Now. We're talking with G. Edward Griffin and Michael Murphy, the producers of What in the World Are They Spraying?, a documentary on chemtrails. Before the break, we got a little bit into the mountain of evidence for this phenomenon that is occurring. And please, gentlemen, can you tell us what evidence is there that the trails in the skies are actually chemicals?
Well, I think the best evidence, obviously, is in the chemical analysis of the rainwater and snow water in areas that are so pristine, so, you know, hundreds of miles away from any industrial activity. So you cannot say that this is being thrown into the sky by smokestacks or something like that. There have been many, many tests done, and some of them are in the documentary. You can see them. You can see the people that ran the test. You can see the evidence on the reports. And these are tests of rainwater and snow water, especially, I mean, snow, snowflakes up there on Mount Shasta in Northern California. And they're so high in aluminum and barium and strontium that it's just, they're right off the chart. They're highly toxic. I mean, you wouldn't dare drink that water. Here it is coming down off of a pristine mountain, and hikers are up there drinking that stuff. They think they're getting good, clean water from the little streams, the melting snow. And they're probably, you know, they could be killing themselves with that stuff. It's so toxic. Michael, what is it, 61,000 parts per million or something like that of aluminum?
Right, and the interesting thing, some of the scientists up there, because the ecosystems have been in decline for about the past 7 years, and the forests are starting to die up there. So the scientists said, what is going on? So they started doing pH tests. And what they found was the pH was changing to an alkaline soil, so the alkalinity was changing anywhere on the low end, 12 times the alkalinity, up to as high as 18 times the alkalinity. What will happen, anything that requires an acidic soil to grow will begin to die if the soil is changing. So they began to do further tests, and like Ed had said, they found massive amounts of aluminum, and just 7 years ago when these changes started, they did a snow test on Mount Shasta, and it contained 7 parts per billion aluminum, which was a high test. There should be no aluminum. Of course, aluminum oxide will change the pH of soil to alkalinity. Just last year, there was another test that had been done, and this increased several thousand times to 61,100 parts per billion. And between that period, they, again, have seen profound changes because the soil pH is changing. And I just want to remark, this is not only isolated in this area in Northern California. This is happening in acidic soils around the world where the aerosol spraying is reported. And like we said, this is in most countries, not all countries. So it's deeply concerning to many people who are aware of what aluminum, barium, and strontium can do.
Well, I'd like to comment a little bit further on that because you asked what is the evidence. Well, I think the chemical evidence, the analysis is absolutely bulletproof evidence. But now we're dealing with the chemtrail deniers, the professional deniers. I think, you know, let's call them what I think they really are. They're disinformation agents. And their whole idea is to keep throwing doubts into the mind of the public, raising issues. They keep saying, yeah, but this, and yeah, but what about that, and yeah, but what about this? I call them the abbots. And on this, they try to discredit these chemical analysis. For example, when the report was put into the video documentary, somebody went on the website, chemtrail debunking website, and said, well, yeah, that came from Mount Shasta. You know, they ski up in Mount Shasta, so that aluminum must have come from the bottom of skis.
Oh, my. That is laughable.
That's a yeah, but, you see, and they keep throwing that in, and they, well, yeah, but, you see, on the report, come in for a close-up on the report, and they said they analyzed the sludge. Now, sludge, what does that mean, they said? You see, sludge, that means it came from the bottom of the pond. That was soil. They weren't measuring water. They were measuring soil. Yeah, but this and yeah, but that. And it's just enough to cause people to wonder, I better not have an opinion. This is getting too complicated. And that's really what they want, is they want people to back off of having an opinion.
Ridicule can be a great deterrent for some people.
Yeah, mm-hmm. But I think we need to answer all of their yeah buts, and we're kind of working on that now. We do know, for example, on the two I just mentioned, that there was no skiing in that area where the snow sample was taken. And we also know that the laboratory that put the word sludge on there was referring to the particulate matter that was in the beaker, the test tube or the beaker. They call that sludge. That doesn't mean it came from the soil. As a matter of fact, we know that the pond that was taken from, the guy that took the sample said he took it from about midpoint in the pond, and that there was no soil in contact with it at all because it was lined. It had a double plastic lining around it because he wanted to have the water just the right pH for the expensive fish he had in there. So it was not even in contact with soil, but yet they said, see, sludge, that means soil. And, you know, they just go on and on and on. No matter what you say, they've got a yeah, but. And so we have to answer them.
One of the things I found interesting about the water studies of the surface waters is that the levels of aluminum are actually spiking on certain days. So that would indicate that it was coming, that it was dropped, and then it would dissipate. Is that right?
Well, there is a correlation, yes. So when the trails are present at the beginning of a storm, the levels of aluminum, barium, strontium are extremely high. If trails are not present, which now is becoming, you know, less and less of a phenomenon, but if the trails are not present, those numbers come down dramatically. So there is a clarification. I meant to jump in, but I had the pause on my phone. I was wondering if you guys weren't listening. I want to come back to anything. Because it just shows how ridiculous they are. I was speaking and somebody had all of these debunker ideas, and I said, well, if you could just tell me where the aluminum came from on Mount Shasta. And he said, absolutely. It came from Ski Bowl on Mount Shasta, and Ski Bowl has people that are skiing on it. And again, the aluminum came from skis. And I said, you are correct. It did come from an area called Ski Bowl. However, Ski Bowl is not a ski resort. It's a wilderness area. And there's no skiing whatsoever on that. So they kind of really stepped on their foot on that one. So,
and skis have steel edges. They're not made out of aluminum.
Right. So they're getting pretty desperate. But that means that we're making an impact, and we are, because we did investigate this issue. And, again, we have many credible scientists and even credible politicians who are aware of this and willing to openly speak about it.
So what are some of the effects of aluminum, barium, and strontium on human health?
Well, aluminum is highly toxic, and again, we interviewed many healthcare professionals, and I just want to bring up, in the past 10 to 12 years, we've seen an incredible increase in aluminum-related illness. One of those, which is commonly known, is Alzheimer's. Alzheimer's is linked. It's a neurological disorder, and it is linked to aluminum toxicity. Here in L.A. County, for instance, in a 10-year period, we've seen over 200% increase in Alzheimer's. Also, some of the symptoms are memory loss and other neurological diseases. MS, MD can be linked into aluminum toxicity. Barium is very toxic as well. We know that barium will lower our immune system, and of course, we've seen a dramatic increase in a number of different illnesses. Barium also increases blood pressure. So during heavy spray days, I've spoken to many emergency room physicians who are aware of the aerosol spraying, and all of them have told me during heavy spray days, our emergency rooms are packed with, to a lesser degree, people get burning eyes, irritability, headache. But to a more severe degree, of course, it increases blood pressure. So we see an increase of heart attacks and strokes on those days. We know that strontium is a carcinogen, and it's very toxic. Of course, we have seen an increase in cancers during this time. All of these metals combined will have an accumulative effect, according to the physicians that we spoke to. So it will attack, you know, the weaker point in the body. So if a liver or kidney might be genetically weak in the family, that is going to give out. Of course, during this time, we've seen a dramatic increase in all kinds of illness. Respiratory mortality in the past 5 years in the U.S. has gone from number 8 on the list of mortality down to number 3. And if you'll notice, many people today are complaining of respiratory problems. They're complaining of coughs. People are dying from this. The health implications are very severe. And we are now building a coalition against geoengineering where many physicians are starting to come on and speak up about this. So it is finally not only getting the attention of the scientific community, but also the medical community.
Okay. We are going to be going to a break right now. So when we come back, I'd love to talk about a little bit some of the studies that you did when you were over in Hawaii and the farmers and what they found about the pH of their soil. You are listening to Food Integrity Now. We will be right back.
Are you experiencing anxiety, anger, depression, or low self-esteem? Do you beat yourself up or sabotage what you truly want to achieve? Hi, this is Jeannie Smith, and at Open Heart Healing, I combine counseling, gestalt therapy, and Tai Chi energy work to assist those who truly desire to bring quality and joy back into their lives. My office is located on South Perry Street here in Castle Rock. Call me for a free consultation at 303-660-6373. Again, that's 303-660-6373, or visit me at openhearthealing.com.
Linda Masterson, Soul Purpose Astrologer, works with astrological tools and with guides in the non-physical to assist ones in knowing their soul purpose. Important in this process is identification of significant blockages. In each session, tools are provided for working with self to clear resistance and free talents, skills, and abilities to fuller expression. The goal is to take responsibility for and to accelerate the healing process. Phone sessions are offered by Linda. Please visit Linda at lindamasterson.com or call 808-651-0307. Again, that's 808-651-0307.
You are looking for some flavorful, healthy, fresh food. Come out to Maximilian's Cafe in Woodland Park, Colorado. Focusing on local, fresh ingredients with a changing seasonal menu. Located at 209 East Midland Avenue, Woodland Park, Colorado, right off Highway 24 in downtown. Our walls are full of local artist artwork, and on Friday and Saturday nights, we feature local singers, songwriters, and performers to entertain you while you relax and enjoy a fun environment, a glass of wine, and fantastic food. Open 7 days a week from 11 to 9 p.m., 11 to 8 p.m. on Sunday and Monday.
Welcome back to Food Integrity Now, and we're talking with Michael Murphy and Edward Griffin about their documentary, What in the World Are They Spraying? And before we go any further, we would like to ask, what is the definition? What is geoengineering? Can you explain that for people who might not know?
Mike, you have your...
I was waiting for you. I wanted to toss it for you so we could have a balance. But the definition of geoengineering is the artificial manipulation of the Earth's climate systems. Essentially what it is, it's a group of scientists taking power, godlike power, to manipulate and control our climate, such as weather and other applications. With that being said, David Keith, who is the number three geoengineer in the world, and he's heavily funded by Bill Gates, and I just posted this on our Coalition Against Geoengineering website, he actually came out. He said, we now have the technologies to give man godlike powers.
And
that's what we're at.
So we're seeing, these geoengineers like David Keith are advocating the use of aluminum, barium, and strontium to change the climate, but they say they're not doing it. But yet, your tests are saying that these levels have been dramatically increasing. Is that right?
It's not only our tests, but geoengineers are open about the risks associated with some of these, and some of the risks are droughts in Africa and Asia, exactly what we're seeing. Some of the other risks are dramatic weather changes, exactly what we're seeing. Some of the other risks many other things that they're discussing. So, yeah, it's not only we have hard evidence that proves that they're doing this, but all of the signs are there. I mean, they spoke about spraying an aerosol into the sky, something that we see on a daily basis, and then all of the problems associated we have begun to see. So it's deeply concerning. They are doing it. There's conclusively we can say that.
And so they say it's mainly, or what they've admitted to is it's for climate manipulation. But are there other, given that it changes the pH of the soil, Are there other reasons why this might be?
Well, they're not admitting that. One has to sort of dig that out, and you wonder. I mean, there are many advantages to some groups if you can change the soil. For example, if you happen to be a company that's doing genetically modified seeds, and you are working on a seed that will grow in alkaline soil, more alkaline than acidic, and then all of a sudden the soil in the Western world turns alkaline, that means that people can't grow their native crops anymore. They've got to go buy your seeds. Now, does that mean that the people at the seed company are doing that deliberately? Well, you have to draw your own conclusions.
Such as Monsanto's aluminum-resistant
seed. We know that they go to great lengths to force their seeds upon farmers with their fertilizer programs and their seeds that are designed to resist the things that kill other weeds and so forth. So we know that they definitely will do that, but it's always, they say, to improve crop yields, to help starving people.
Yeah, we've heard that before. We've had Jeffrey Smith on our show, and we're well aware of some of the propaganda that
they claim to be great humanitarians, and that's the motive behind all of this. And so you have to sort of draw your own conclusions as to whether they are really looking for a financial advantage to this. And then we know that the military has a definite interest in controlling the weather. They've said so. As a matter of fact, one of the earliest projects that was ever taken on in the control of weather and study of weather, the military took it over, and the government took it over and sent it to the Naval Weapons Station out in the California desert. And they were right up front about it. They said they looked at it as a military weapon, as a weapon of war, and not something for humanitarian purposes. But you say, well, that's what the military is supposed to do, isn't it? They control whatever they can to save the nation. And so, again, humanitarian motives are there to protect the country from enemies and that sort of thing. But, you can get lost in these speculative issues like that. All we think we have to prove is that they're spraying. They're putting chemical things down on the planet for whatever reason, and it's backfiring because it's killing crops, it's making people sick, it's probably shortening their lifespan, it's reducing their fertility. There may be another motive, by the way, because we know that many groups are interested in depopulation. So are they in this, too, for that purpose? We don't know. But we do know that it's having that effect. So, and once I think people realize what the effect is, we don't really need to talk too much about motives, even if they're high-minded people, all of them, which I doubt. But even if they were, they've made a terrible mistake, haven't they? And they're they've got to be stopped.
Well, my whole argument too is if they are doing well, I know they are doing it. But if they're doing it, why aren't they telling us they're doing it? That in and of itself makes you wonder.
Well, I think they're doing it. They're not telling us because they probably know that it's having some pretty bad effects, and they don't want to be responsible.
Yeah,
they don't want to be sued. They don't want to be thrown in prison.
Yeah,
they don't want to be tried for high crimes and misdemeanors. They don't want to be convicted of mass murder and things like that. You know, little things like that. There's quite a motive not to admit it.
Right, but when it is admitted, because I agree with you, there will be a whistleblower eventually. What do you think they're going to say?
Well, they're going to say they've been doing it for our own good.
Right.
Of course. They're already telling us that that's their reason for being interested in this. It's always for our good. So they'll want us to treat them like really heroes.
Yeah, there'll be some way to manipulate that, I'm sure.
They'll be heroes.
One of the things I was thinking when I was watching the movie was I wanted to go do my own test. Because I had read a review of the movie before I actually watched it, and someone was saying was discrediting it based on the fact that they thought it was based solely on the Mount Shasta study. And I remember when you were talking to some of the senators, they didn't seem to feel like there was enough evidence. And one of the things that we would like to do is to be able to supplement that test data to. So that we could have test data from all over the country showing spikes in surface water of aluminum, barium, and strontium. And I was looking into some aluminum testing kits, but You know, the one I was looking at was like $1,000. So not many people are going to be able to go and buy one of those. But do you have any suggestions for someone that wants to be doing that?
Actually, we do. And as we stated before, we started the Coalition Against Geoengineering. I would encourage everybody to go to our website. And we put an area on there, testing. And testing is very simple and it's very inexpensive. It costs around $20. There are many different labs who will test for the aluminum, barium, and strontium. And we also put instructions on how to test water. It's very simple. At the beginning of a rainstorm, you want to put out, you know, a very clean jar of pan that has no metal, obviously, in it. And the instructions are very clear. And we do. We also have a library of just under 1,000 tests that have been taken not only here in America, but around the world with people who have used these labs. So, again, it's very simple. It's very inexpensive. And we do have many different tests. And, again, like Ed stated, there are people who want to state that the only evidence was the Mount Shasta test, and that simply is not true. Those were the ones that we provided in the film because we didn't feel like we had enough time to provide 1,000 tests. However, we do direct people and encourage people to look into the mountain of tests and the mountain of evidence that that we have documented from around the world.
Michael, can you give us that website where people can go and get this information?
Absolutely. You can find that, and we encourage everybody who's listening to join the Coalition Against Geoengineering. And Ed Head actually is the chairman. He founded that and asked me to come on board as the president. And, you know, our hopes, because we have been so effective at presenting this information, is just getting people involved, getting people aware of new stories that are coming out, new evidence like our testing, but also each month we're going to be having different ideas for activism. So to really get active at the local level. So we just want to encourage people to sign up, and we're building this, and we're working hard at getting this to really be a central force in getting people activated to address this crime. And so far we've been very successful. Like, I can't tell you how many people email me a day saying, you know, I want to get active. I want to start addressing this. And the reason is this. Once you know, and once I found out, it's so obvious to me that they're spraying on a regular basis. Now I know conclusively that it's not only a threat to ecology, but also to my health, the health of my neighbors, my family, and my friends. So it's very difficult, once you know, to remain silent on this issue. And with that being said, it gives me great hope, because every day I come in contact with people who are beginning to wake up. They're beginning to stand up. And I think we're in such an incredible season here in the world, because for the first time in history, we see people who are saying, wait a minute, no, we're going to stand up. We're going to say no to this. And our belief is this, is that everybody who is aware of this starts taking some action. And I'm not talking about drastic action. I'm talking about, you know, it might be a peaceful, nonviolent action of handing out DVDs or even flyers in your local community at certain grocery stores, something like that, really to wake people up. We can begin to see a change and have these programs stop. So we just got back from Redding, California. There was screaming there, and it's a very small town. However, we had over 500 people at the screening there, and it was done because just a couple people in that community started going to the stores, giving them flyers for the event, and handing out DVDs. Now we have a town activated. Many people who want to take action, and they are taking action, not only by writing the congressman.
I'd like to jump in here just a second, Mike. If people are wondering how to find our website, the address is coalitionagainstgeoengineering.org. So it's a long word, coalitionagainstgeoengineering.org.
And can they also get the movie there, Edward?
Yes, there's a link there, and they can do that. But if they want to go directly to the source of the DVD, that would be at realityzone.com. Realityzone.com. That's where that is.
Okay.
Great.
And one more thing came to mind. We were talking about testing before and how it's relatively easy to do the testing, and we hope people will continue to do that. But I'd like to see them also keep some kind of a log to indicate what was the spraying conditions on those days or the day before. Maybe if they could even take a picture of the sky in the same place every day, mm-hmm. so they could compare, you know, heavy spray days versus non-spray days, possibly line up those pictures and those dates with the test results. I think that would be also very, very useful.
Yeah, I've been taking pictures almost daily and putting them on Facebook. And sometimes I take movies, too, because they're just so blatant. And Matt is over here smiling at me.
If we correlate those pictures to the actual test results.
Yeah.
We've had a lot of people say, well, how do we know that this is related to, you know, spraying?
Yeah.
Did you keep a log? Well, no, didn't keep a log. So.
Yeah. Well, we are going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll be in our final segment with Edward Griffin and Michael Murphy. And what in the world are they spraying? You're listening to Food Integrity Now.
Are you seeking understanding and assistance in healing your depression and anger or lack of passion? Hi, my name is Tammy Urbanek at Empowerment Through Healing, and I'm a medium clairvoyant who can work with your spirit guides to assist you. Your spirit guides can offer solutions and understanding at current life issues that you're facing. Visit www.empowermentthroughhealing.com for more information, and you can call me at 719-641-2017.
I'm Carol Gervais, and I'm a certified life coach and one of the hosts of the Food Integrity Now show right here on Castle Rock Radio. Have you ever dreamed of swimming with the wild and free dolphins? I'm not talking about the ones in captivity like the ones at Dolphin Quest. I'm talking about swimming with them in the wild. If this is something you've only dreamt about doing, I invite you to mark this off your bucket list now and join me for an all-inclusive trip to swim with the wild dolphins. Your trip to paradise will include organic gourmet meals, ocean waterfront accommodations, Lomi Lomi massage, and much more. What are you waiting for? Now is the time to make your dream a reality. For more information, go to wilddolphinswimadventures.com or contact me at carol@coachwithcarol.com or 719-687-7447. Once again, that's 719-687-7447. Mahalo.
Are you experiencing anxiety, anger, depression, or low self-esteem? Do you beat yourself up or sabotage what you truly want to achieve? Hi, this is Jeannie Smith, and at Open Heart Healing, I combine counseling, gestalt therapy, and Tai Chi energy work to assist those who truly desire to bring quality and joy back into their lives. My office is located on South Perry Street here in Castle Rock. Call me for a free consultation at 303-660-6373. Again, that's 303-660-6373, or visit me at openhearthealing.com.
Welcome back to Food Integrity Now. We're in our final segment with G. Edward Griffin and Michael Murphy, the producers of What in the World Are They Spraying? So we've covered a lot of the topics in this show, and we feel that the case has been made that there is a reason to look at the sky and to question why there are all those crisscrosses in there, and it's not just persistent contrails that is the reason. So where do we go from here? What are some more things that we can do to be active, and what can we expect from you in the future?
Well, those are good questions. I think the first question is probably the most important, because if we can't do anything about it, we're wasting our time.
Right. But,
and I think a realistic appraisal is that we cannot do anything about it, and as long as the political leaders that we have in charge of the show here are closing their minds and their eyes to it. I mean, they're some of them may not actually know, but we think that most of the people in Washington are well aware of what's going on, but they just don't want to deal with it because, well, for several reasons. Maybe they feel it's politically suicide to do so. They're afraid that somebody might call them a wacko, and they don't want to be, you know, branded with being a tinfoil hat type of person. So they'd probably pretend not to know anything about it just to stay out of having to talk about it. I think that's probably the case in many, in many cases, that's the explanation. In some cases, I think they're actually involved to one extent or another in the motive of what's going on here, but we don't know which ones are in that category. The bottom line is we have to replace those people. As long as the ones that are in there are refusing to even talk about it, they're certainly not going to do anything about it. So ultimately, we have to build some kind of political front. We have to have some kind of political action that comes out the end of the pipe. Otherwise, we are just wasting our time. That ultimately is what we hope the coalition against geoengineering will produce. It'll be such a mass movement, so much awareness and understanding and networking going on, that it will finally spill over and begin to find candidates for office who will come on board and say, yes, I'm going to make this a campaign issue. My opponent or the incumbent won't even talk about it, but this is a major campaign issue. And I think only then will we actually be able to see change. That's where we're headed, ultimately, I think.
Are there any senators or congressmen that you can name that are open to discussing this?
Well, we can. In the film, we interviewed Senator Karen Johnson. She was a senator from Arizona. Of course, she's retired. However, I do want to bring up Congressman Dennis Kucinich, who in his 2001 Space Preservation Act, which was essentially a bill that he wrote banning space weapons, he specifically mentioned the word in the banning of chemtrails. However, that part of the bill was removed before it went to vote, and many people believe, including myself, that there may have been some form of coercion. So, and of course, there have been numerous congressional hearings on the issue of geoengineering, so it's not something that's been hidden. I mean, it's coming out into the open. Geoengineers are addressing this in Washington, D.C., and they're urgently selling these. However, the members of Congress who we addressed this to blatantly denied that it was currently going on. And I do believe that, yes, this essentially needs to be addressed in Washington, D.C., and I completely agree with everything that Ed said. However, the great thing about this movement is, due to the fact that it affects each and every one of us in a very intimate and negative way, each and every one of us who is aware of this has a responsibility to address this. So, you know, my encouragement is, due to the fact that about 90% of the population right now is unaware of these programs, we have a lot of work to do waking people up.
Yeah.
Because that means there are a lot of people who would do something if they were aware of these programs, but are not because they're not aware of it. So, you know, I encourage people, whatever your gifts, whatever your skills are, whatever your level is, get people active. I have people right in my community, some people who have very little education, people who have very high levels of education, who are out taking DVDs and flyers and handing them out and educating their neighbors. So we see, like in my little area, all of my neighbors are awake. They're knocking on my door. Hey, did you see that they're spraying today? So there is an awareness. And that's one of the main things that we have to do is create an awareness. And then the people who do have special skills to bring this into town hall meetings and to bring this to Washington, D.C., well, they're beginning to wake up. And this is being addressed in that capacity. But it's literally something, you know, if there's a gift of speaking, please utilize it. If there's a gift of writing letters to members of Congress and senators, please use that gift. I know people that have been passing out flyers in front of grocery stores, and if you're comfortable doing that, well, get active doing it. So the unique thing about this, again, is each and every person does have the ability to get active in addressing this issue, and it's amazing. We're seeing people from around the world getting excited and taking action. So,
what are we seeing from other countries? Is there acknowledgement from other countries politically that this is going on?
Well, there absolutely is, and there was actually a moratorium held in Japan just about a month ago, and it called for the banning of geoengineering. So it has been addressed by countries. However, they didn't address two things. They didn't address, A, the current deployment, that it was already going on, and their solution to this, ironically, was, hey, we need to create global governance in order
right.
to regulate.
Oh, yeah.
They didn't object to it. They just said that their problem was that they wanted to control it. That was the whole thing.
Like Ed had said earlier in the program, you know, we do know that these programs are going on, and our message is quite simple. They are ongoing, and they're a threat to human health and ecology, and we do need to address that issue right now, not how to control any future programs, not how to create governance, but how to stop these immediately, because I do not want to be poisoned, and neither do many other people on the planet.
Are you facilitating the creation of any local groups, local coalition against geoengineering groups?
Yes, we are definitely encouraging that. In fact, we hope that there will be a local coalition in every little village and hamlet. That's the only way to build some kind of a powerful grassroots movement.
Great. We just recently started the... Jeffrey Smith came to assist the creation of the non-GMO working group in Boulder, Colorado, and the energy there was great, and it really felt that by getting together with a group of people that did have the common goal, it really is encouraging, because sometimes it does feel like you're the only one that's trying to tell the truth.
Yeah, and a good example, again, was just the group of 20 of us out there handing out some information, and we probably handed out, you know, over 100-plus pieces of material, and, you know, that's what it takes.
Yeah. Well, when you get to, you go from 20 to 200 and then to 2,000, it'll really feel good.
Yeah. Well, go ahead.
Real quick, the amazing thing about this movement is, due to the fact that it affects all of us, it can bring us all together, no matter what political party we affiliate with, no matter what, you know, racial profile we may be. This is something that is uniting people to stand up, you know, for the rights. So it's a very interesting movement because of the people who are getting involved and the people who are setting aside their differences to address this issue. So for the first time, we're seeing an incredible amount of support and an incredible awakening within this issue, and it's really a beautiful thing.
Well, it affects all of us, so thank you very much for being on our show today. This was very informative, and again, do you real quickly want to give your websites one more time so people can find out more information?
You bet. The Coalition website is coalitionagainstgeoengineering.org, and the place where you can get the DVD is realityzone.com, realityzone.com.
Well, thank you so much, and we'll stay in touch, and we're definitely going to be activists against these chemtrails, so we will be spreading the word.
Thank you so much.
And Susan's going to tell us a little bit about our show next week.
Yeah, we will have author F. William Engdahl. He is a leading analyst of the New World Order and author of the best-selling book on Oil and Geopolitics, A Century of War, Anglo-American Politics and the New World Order.
I'm not sure.
And he's written a book in 2007 called Seeds of Destruction about the hidden agenda of genetic manipulation. And it's a very well-researched book about some of the background of GMOs that, or political background of GMOs that that many people probably don't know about, and how it serves the agenda of a small elite group. And so we're really excited to have him on the show. And he's also just written or finished a new book, and hopefully he'll tell us about that.
Great. I can't wait to have him on the show. So thank you again for listening. This is Food Integrity Now, and we will be back next week. Thank you.
Thank you very much.